the corruption of genetics between species. The why is always more important than the what. And I can hear the skeptics snigger already. They want to shout that the notion of a celestial body, i.e. everlasting life after death, was invented to control the masses into obedience. Nothing more, nothing less. Just because they talk about celestial bodies does not mean that those that wrote scripture understood genetics. The skeptics who adore and nourish their prism, who fly their own religious flag of science, and who have come to view scripture as nothing more than an old means of control, as an archaic and outmoded view of the world, and as anti-science, should really be redirected to Psalm 139. Psalm 139 is a truly remarkable passage, and a testament to the advanced understanding our historical ancestors possessed in regard to genetics, and despite the official narrative. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there were none of them. Psalm 139 displays David's marvel at God's power to create human life. Just as Corinthians states that being sown in a natural body and raised in a celestial body is written, David here acknowledges that before he was sown or born, all his members were written in God's book. This book is DNA, the code that makes life possible in the first place. DNA, or deoxyribonucleic acid, is the blueprint of human life, and contemporary scientists acknowledge that DNA is a type of book. DNA consists of the nitrogen bases adenine, guanine, cytosine, and thymine. These bases are usually abbreviated as A, G, C, and T, respectively. Just as in a book, these letters are grouped in a specific order to communicate a particular idea or task. Recently, contemporary literary studies have fallen under the spell of reading all text through the prism of social and identity politics. The account of creation of both Adam and Eve has become problematic for youthful, aspiring feminists in the dusty classrooms of university seminars. Of course, they lament, Eve was created from Adam's rib in the patriarchal, misogynistic past of scripture. But if we toss identity politics aside, we can see the creation for what it is. Eve was created out of Adam's already established genetic code, his rib. It's in the word, deoxyribonucleic acid. Furthermore, it's the ribosomes in our cells that take instructions from the messenger RNA in the body to create the proteins essential for life. That word, translation. Just like Adam's rib, it is a direct reference to the workings of human genetics. In molecular genetics, translation is the process in which the ribosomes, the molecular machines present within our cells, synthesize proteins after the process of transcription of DNA to RNA in the cell's nucleus. In translation, messenger RNA, or mRNA, is decoded in the ribosome to produce a specific amino acid chain, which later generates into an active protein and performs its functions in the cell. It's all very complicated, but take a moment to look at your body. Your hands, the skin, the muscle, the hair, every single part of yourself. Each part of your cells that make up the whole contain millions of proteins. Proteins are molecular building blocks for every organism on Earth. But how are they made in the first place? The instructions for making proteins are written in the cell's DNA. In each cell's book of life exists a code, or sequence, and this is what we call our genes. The first step of generating these proteins from the gene sequence, or book, is called transcription. Here, the DNA sequence of the gene is rewritten in the form of two types of RNA. One of these types of RNA is classified as coding RNA, or mRNA, messenger RNA. The second step is called translation. In this stage, the mRNA is decoded in the ribosome to produce a specific protein. The ribosome is a type of micro-machine present within all of our cells. Its purpose is to read the instructions presented by the mRNA. The whole process is called gene expression, and without mRNA, the ribosome cannot read the genetic sequence of the gene, and therefore cannot produce the proteins that make up our biological structure. With this in mind, we can return to the scriptural context of Enoch's translation and David's marvel at God's book. If Enoch or anyone was to obtain a celestial body from a terrestrial body, then one of the first steps would be to change the expression of the genetic code and the proteins produced. And this can only be produced with the right kind of transcription and translation process.
I think there's going to be a lot of breakthroughs on the medical front, particularly around the synthetic mRNA. You can basically do anything with synthetic RNA, DNA. It's like a computer program. So, I mean, I think with enough, with effort, that's not too crazy. You could probably stop aging, reverse it if you want. You can basically do anything. You could turn someone into a freaking butterfly if you want with the right DNA sequence.
It could be that Enoch and others raised in a celestial body are resurrected with entirely new genetic DNA. Or it could be a case that the matter of DNA, which we have been programmed to view as a double helix, is actually a lot more complex, and perhaps already contains this information, but we lack the specific mRNA translation function to read the specific code and produce the proteins that could transform our bodies from terrestrial to celestial. Either way, the scriptural refrain, "It is written," is not to be taken lightly. It is written in our genes. And perhaps this is why genetic miscegenation or genetic misappropriation is a sin. Because it not only corrupts our Creator's ordained structure of life, but potentially interferes with the process of translation. Perhaps this realm and all human life was created as a testing ground, a transitory phase, before gaining access to the celestial realm or other subsequent realms. Who knows? Again, my point here is not to argue that the Bible's distinction between celestial and terrestrial bodies is the truth. How would I know? But to demonstrate that the Bible contains a wealth of information on genetics and places genetic corruption as the primary driver behind the Great Flood Reset. And I can hear the skeptics again. So what if our historical ancestors partially understood human genetics and attributed them to God? And so what if scripture tells us that the corruption of human genetics was responsible for the first documented reset in our history? It's just a book, written by humans. It doesn't mean it is the truth. And I can sympathize with this kind of skepticism. After all, the redaction and manipulation of scripture is obvious and no great secret. The problem we are left with, however, is what portions of the text have been changed? How can we rely on these words? And, after all, it is no coincidence that the very same King James, who was responsible for sponsoring the translation of the Bible, also wrote a dissertation on demonology, which leaves the inquisitive mind with many suspicions. And perhaps I would have agreed with our skeptic a long time ago. However, we live in a world of tremendous deception, and all we can rely on are our own eyes. And what do we see? There is a war going on back home, viewer. How is it being fought? What do you see taking place? Many are being led by the petulant poison of the snake's tongue, to fool them into committing an irreversible action and to live through the consequences alone. Even if what they are telling us is not the truth, even if they do not actually function with this kind of technology and they operate differently, they are reveling in the notion that they do function this way. And again, the why is more important than the what. Why are they doing this? What are they trying to accomplish? All we need to do is put their narrative in the context of scripture, and it becomes pretty clear where their leadership and inspiration is coming from. A war on the integrity of our genetics and the act of creation itself, with the intention to corrupt and ultimately destroy. An outright attack on God's book. And while they have redacted so much of scripture, it would also be naive to assume they would not leave things hiding in plain sight. It is not like the account of genetic miscegenation and the subsequent great flood is comprehensive. It is a small, elusive chapter, and they have worked hard to mythologize it ever since, to Disney-fy it. And if you apply common sense and logical thinking, then the mere existence of the sophisticated and almost machine-like complexity of genetic sequencing and expression in and of itself destabilizes the notion of evolution. It is absurd to believe that the precision of our genetics evolved so sophisticatedly over time that through trial and error, the result was a process in which allowed DNA to be transcripted into RNA and produce mRNA, which contains codons, or a code that can be edited and read by the ribosome, the molecular machine found within all of our cells, and through the act of reading this code, produces the proteins necessary for life. No, the most simple answer is that we have a creator, someone, or something wrote the code, wrote the book of life. It is written. And perhaps that's why they attack God and his book of life so fervently. The enemy is jealous and suffering a type of inferiority complex. When one has aspirations to be great, to be like the Most High, of course a natural type of envy will arise in that individual, especially if their ambitions are to create a realm of artificial intelligence, a simulation they have full control over, and their opponent is an authentic intelligence of the most sublime standard. And if such an individual allows themselves to be consumed by their envy, then of course, a monomaniacal obsession to destroy and corrupt their opponent's creation will arise within them. And this is really what's at heart when we see reference to the Prometheus Code. When the controllers and their puppets integrate this sequence of sixes into their narrative and lies, it is a deliberate hiding in plain sight, their own little sick joke, and their own way of telling us and gaining informed consent. They want us to subconsciously accept their efforts of playing God, to blindly accept their beast system. They unashamedly want us to know where their inspiration is coming from, that they are playing the architect of our perceived reality. If the Bible contains 66 books, then it means at some point they played the creator and removed the other books. And they make it obvious for us, because they try to play a fair game of good versus evil. If they didn't have their own way of telling us and giving us a choice to know, a choice to accept or reject, if they just imposed it upon us, then what are they? Dictators. Parading their code in plain sight is their cowardly idea of playing fairly. And if we are too lazy to investigate things properly ourselves and learn the history outlined in scripture, then more fool us. And this coded sequence is so prevalent, so interwoven into the very fabric of the matrix that governs our perception of reality, that to dismiss it as mere coincidence is naive. It is the mathematical sequence underlying the prism lodged firmly in our minds. History is a nightmare from which we are all trying to awake from. Can you hear the distant drumbeat of the Promethean beast system? The skeptics in their great slumber would not readily sacrifice the genetic integrity of their bodies if they really knew the potential consequences. The fear of death is a great motivator. It's a tremendous shame, however, that a love of life itself, a love for one's genetic integrity, and a love for God's book no longer motivates the masses. It is almost incomprehensible as to how complacent humans have become. And yet it will be in the final hour that they will panic and turn on the very people who try to warn them for so long.
Brother, disappointed. My name's Dr. Sean Brooks, PhD, Oxford. I have 48 publications, including 23 books. I've studied health, medicine, anatomy, and physiology for approximately 21 years. Dr. Robert Malone, who created the messenger RNA vaccine, has said no one should ever take these jabs, ever, under any circumstance whatsoever. He created it, and he says don't ever do it. So let me explain what's going to happen to the people who have taken it. Excuse me. The people who have taken it are going to die in the next 6 months to 3 to 5 years for three reasons. Number one, you've dramatically decreased your own immune system by 35%. The first jab did it by at least 15. The second did it by 35 now. If you take any booster shot, you will die. That's it. You take a flu shot in the future, you will die. The second reason, antibody-dependent enhancement. Antibody-dependent enhancement is what is happening with these jabs with everybody who has taken them. Unless, of course, you've taken a placebo, but there's no way that you would know that. So given that fact, antibody-dependent enhancement tricks the entire body into believing that the cell that's eating the pathogen is eating it when it isn't. It ends up leading to what's called a cytokine storm, which causes organ failure. That will cause your death, and there's no stopping that. No amount of drugs will stop that. The third thing, blood clotting. Everyone who has taken the jabs is blood clotting. If you don't believe me, there's a way you can find out. Take what's called a D-dimer test. What that does is that detects blood clotting at the microscopic level. They're cutting full blood clots out of people right now. As I'm talking to you, millions have died from the jabs. In your last meeting, you advocated for people to take the jabs potentially in the future, along with wearing masks. And I heard parents say the same thing. So to the parents who are actually considering jabbing their own children, you're going to sterilize them permanently. People who have taken the jabs are sterilized. 80% of women who have been jabbed have lost their children in the first trimester. You can't have kids. You've also injected yourself with the equivalent of HIV. You can now no longer breastfeed, donate blood, donate organs, donate blood plasma, nor bone marrow. If you don't believe me, try to donate blood and blood plasma and find out what happens. You will be denied, unless, of course, you live in California, in which case they're allowing people to donate toxic blood with spike proteins in it. The jabs create spike proteins. They're in the jabs themselves, and they create it by snapping your RNA in half. You are no longer a human anymore. You are something else, and you are susceptible to countless diseases. Now, here's what's going to happen in the future very quickly.
So you have 15 seconds.
Great. I don't know what percentage of your staff has taken the jabs, but your school is going to close. You will not stay open. You will close because they will fall ill and they will die. That will happen in all of your buildings. It's already happening.
All right, thank you, sir.
I bet it is. Thanks. It's already happening. Sir. Good luck, because nothing can stop what's
coming. Thank you, sir. Let everyone else speak first.
It's all right, Jim. It's all right, Jim.
Next person.
I wish this was all a dream, but it's our reality. All I ask is for people to be open-minded and don't just take one word for it. I ask you to search for the truth and take as many roads as you have to find it. We need to stop blaming each other and assuming, because we've made an ass of both of us. Stop believing in these governments. Stop believing in these politicians. They're not for us. They never have. They never will be. It's time for us to stand. I encourage you to watch the full series on the lost history of flat earth. I can't pronounce the gentleman's name and I don't even want to try to butcher it, but it will hopefully change your perspective on how you look at things. It sure did mine. When you understand that our history is nothing but a lie and the world is run by satanic pedophiles, then you have truly awoke.